Thank you. That fly reminds me of something that Brother Henry used to say. He used to say, you know, men talk about our liberty in preaching and our liberty in hearing. And he said a little tiny fly can interrupt our liberty. And I pray God will give us liberty. I pray Christ will come and preach this message and give us liberty, all of us, liberty to hear it. Then we'll have liberty. All right, Ephesians 5 and verse 3. This one verse will be our text. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Every saint is exhorted to never once be guilty of fornication, of uncleanness, or covetousness, because it is unbecoming saints. It's unbecoming. Now, this exhortation is to saints only. This is written to the church. This is written to Ephesus. Only believers are saints. True believers are really saints. And only those that are sanctified and made saints can really please God. And that is through faith in Christ. Motivated by Christ, doing what we do for the love of Christ. Not to get gain, not to get righteousness or sanctification, but because we are righteous and we are sanctified. Because Christ is our all. But even though this is to saints only, unsanctified sinners will profit, even if it's just temporally speaking, even if it's just earthly speaking. You won't profit in righteousness by obeying this. You won't profit in making yourself sanctified by obeying this. And as long as you don't try to make yourself righteous and sanctified by obeying this, you'll profit by this. Even if you abstain from fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, this will profit you bodily-wise, physically. You know, we don't tell our children, do we? We don't train our children to commit fornication, do we? What do we tell them? Don't. Because it's what's better for you. Better for you. But what I do pray today is that God will give you a heart to hear this message in the light of Christ. And hear Christ. And hear and be motivated by Christ in your heart. And if you hear that, hear Him, then this will profit you both physically and spiritually. Now, the key to seeing Christ in this verse is to see why the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to say fornication is unbecoming to a saint. This thing caught my attention. I saw this fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, and then why did he put at the end of that, this is not becoming to saints? Why did he say it that way? Now, there's the obvious reason. The obvious reason is these things are unholy, they're unlawful, and anything that's unholy and unlawful is unbecoming to a saint who is holy in Christ. This is unbecoming. But there's more to it than that. Now, the first thing we need to see is we need to see what the meaning of these words are. Now, let's get this. All three of these sins are sexual sins. All three of them. This is, you know, you might think, well, this is, I don't know if you ought to preach this in mixed company or whatever. No, it's God's word, so we're going to preach it. All three of these are sexual sins. Sins which can lead, now this is key, sins which can lead to the birth of children born of fornication. This is what this can lead to. Now, fornication is the unlawful sexual union between unmarried men and women, and in this day and time, others included in that. Men and men, women and women. Figuratively, spiritually, it means idolatry. idolatry. The Lord used, in Old Testament, you'll find places where he called the false prophets adulterers, and he called them profane because they preached another gospel. It was spiritual fornication. It was spiritual uncleanness. But the act itself is as well. I'm not trying to make light of the act. The act is. And in it, because here's what it is, whether it's false religion or whether it's the act, it's idolatry. It's worshiping self. That's what it is. Because every person that commits fornication sells his right to all things holy and lawful and spiritual, and he does it for one morsel of earthly gratification. All right, the next word is uncleanness. It includes every other sexual related sin. It includes adultery, incest, homosexuality, all unnatural lust, even provocative attire, and all things which would entice to these sins. It includes all those. And every person guilty of uncleanness sells his right to all things holy, all things lawful, all things spiritual, and he does it for one morsel of earthly gratification, for his flesh. That's why. And then this word covetousness, in this context, it too is a sexual sin. It's the constant thought and desire for any one of these things, any one of the above, or all of the above. It's the constant, continual thought and desire for these things. All right, now every person that's guilty of covetousness, he sells his right to all things holy and lawful and spiritual, and he does it for one morsel of gratification for his flesh. All right, then we have the word saint. We have the word saint. A saint is what every true believer is. This is what every true believer is. This is what we are collectively, saints. And that's really how the word's used more in the New Testament. When the word saints is used, it means the whole church together. We're saints. That's what we are. We're sanctified. We were set apart, we're made holy, we're consecrated for God's use, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Set apart, made holy, consecrated for God's holy use. Now, saints are made so, number one, by divine election. God the Father separated his people and made us holy when he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jude said this, he said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. We're sanctified by God the Father. Number two, we're made saints by the redemption, being redeemed unto God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sanctified by what Christ did. He sanctified us by his one offering on the cross. The Scripture says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. We're sanctified. And then number three, saints are made holy. We're sanctified by the new birth by God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit sanctified us when he birthed us again, when he made us a new creature in regeneration. And we were born of incorruptible seed, holy seed, by the word which is preached unto you. This is critical. It's critical. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. They always go together. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. All right, throughout the Old Testament, now stay with me. I'm so excited about this message. I believe I got a message for you, and I want you to get this. Throughout the Old Testament, all three of these things, the election of God, the choice of God, redemption unto God, and birth, all three of these is what made a child a firstborn son. Every one of these. Every one of these made him a firstborn son. Now, spiritually speaking, a saint and a firstborn son are almost synonymous. Those are almost synonymous terms. Let me give you this too. Listen to this. In Numbers 3:13, God said this, all the firstborn are mine. They're not born yet. He just says that all the firstborn are mine. There's divine election. God's made his choice. All the firstborn are mine. All right? Then he said, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed, I sanctified unto me all the firstborn in Israel, man and beast. There's redemption unto God. Whenever he, in Christ our Passover, he said, whenever Christ the Passover, he died in place, that lamb died, the Passover lamb died in place of the firstborn in Israel, while the firstborn in Egypt, they died themselves. And God said, because of this, I redeemed all the firstborn in Israel to myself. There's redemption. And then he says this, mine shall they be, I'm the Lord. That means when they're born, mine they shall be. There's birth. So you got election, redemption, and birth. That's what made a person a firstborn son. That's what makes us saints. That's what makes us saints. All right, now look, every saint is a firstborn son. Christ is the firstborn, and we're firstborn sons in Christ the firstborn. So then, the fact we're sanctified, the fact that we're sanctified firstborn sons by election, redemption, and birth, that's why the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to connect fornication and these other sexual sins with it not being becoming to a saint. That's why he connected these two. All right, turn to Hebrews 12 and mark Hebrews 12. Right here, God's going to use Esau. He's given us a warning, and he's using Esau, and he's connecting fornication with forfeiting the right of the firstborn. With forfeiting the right of the firstborn. Hebrews 12, 16. Now listen to this. He says, lest there be any fornicator. Lest there be any fornicator. That's a form of the same word that's in our text. Or profane person. That's what a fornicator is. He's further defining what a fornicator is. He's profane. Like profanity, he's profane. And he says, lest there be a fornicator or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you read the Jewish historians and things, and they're going to say on the day Esau sinned, he committed fornication with a virgin. They're going to say all these different things that he did. But it's not in the Scripture. Because the fornication and the profanity was for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. That was his fornication. That was his profanity. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. He came in from the field one day, and he was hungry, and Jacob was there, and Jacob was making up a bowl of something, beans. And Esau said, give me a bowl of that. And Jacob said, I'll sell you this bowl of beans for your birthright. A bowl of beans for a birthright? I'm fixing to show you what was included in a birthright. A bowl of beans for a birthright? And Esau said, I'll take it. I'll take it. You can have my birthright. I don't want it. And so what he did right there is he idolized and he worshipped himself rather than God. Because God's the one who spoke of the firstborn. God's the one who ordained that. And he's just, by doing this, he idolized himself and he worshipped himself. That's what sexual fornication is and covetousness and uncleanness is. And that's what it is if it's preaching a false gospel, departing from Christ and preaching a false gospel. It, spiritually or physically, that's what it is. It's idolatry, worshiping of ourselves. He chose to give up his birthright for a temporary gratification of feeding his flesh. In doing so, he committed fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. In doing so, he ceased being the firstborn. He stopped being the firstborn. He became a profane bastard child of fornication. That's what he became. That's what Esau became. All right, now, in Esau, we see Adam. In Esau, we see Adam. In Adam, in order of time, Adam was born first. He was the firstborn. And God could say of Adam what Joseph said of Reuben, his firstborn. God could say of Adam, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity. Pay attention to that. The excellency of dignity. And the excellency of power. But just like Reuben, just like Joseph said of Reuben, God could also say of Adam, you're unstable as water in yourself, and you won't excel. You won't excel. And for one morsel of meat, for one momentary gratification, Adam disobeyed God. Adam committed fornication. Adam was guilty of uncleanness. Adam was guilty of covetousness. Adam became a profane man simply by disobeying God. That's all that we need to know. He just disobeyed God. He didn't do what God told him. And he forfeited his birthright. He forfeited the birthright. And because Adam was our representative head, when he forfeited his birthright, we forfeited our birthright. We became profane, fornicators, unclean, covetous, guilty sinners, just like Adam was. God describes all his elect, those that he chose in Christ. He describes every one of us in the Old Testament scriptures as being born of fornication, as being children of fornication by our first birth. Where does he do that? Remember that child cast out into the open field? Remember that child in Ezekiel 16, the child cast out in the open field? You know what that was? Abortion. That child was aborted. Nobody wanted that child. Why? Why? Why did nobody want that child? God came to that child and he said this. That child represents all his elect people. His true spiritual Jerusalem. That's who he represents. And God said this. Say thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. This is to all his elect. Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. You know what that was before God? Fornication. That was fornication. That was adultery before God. That means this child born spiritually, this child was born of fornication. This child was not a firstborn child. This child was an unwanted, sinful product of rebellion against God. That's what the child was. And so they cast him out in the field. That's me and you by nature who believe God. That's us by nature. That's the true of all God's elect spiritually in Adam. You know, but every bit of that, when Adam fell, and when Esau did what he did, every bit of it was according to the purpose of God and his grace toward his people. Every bit of it. Because long before that, long before Adam sinned in the garden, God said, Christ is my firstborn. Christ is my firstborn. And when he let Esau sin, and he, you know what he had said before Esau did that? Remember Romans 9? Look at Romans 9. Remember what he said? Keep your place in Hebrews 12. In Romans 9, this is what God said before Esau fell. Romans 9:11. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. That's God's purpose in election. It was said unto her for that reason, to the mother. God said, the elder shall serve the younger. He said, your firstborn son, he's not going to be the firstborn. The second one's going to be the firstborn. He said, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God knew, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows our sin. He knew we'd fall in Adam, and there would be none righteous, no, not one. The Scripture never speaks of God looking down in time and seeing us and seeing we'd believe. The Scripture speaks of God looking down from heaven and seeing us and saying there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what the Scripture speaks of. And he knew this from the beginning. When Adam sinned in the garden, before Adam sinned in the garden, God, from the womb of the morning, had said, Christ is my firstborn. The firstborn into this world, Adam, he's going to serve the younger. The elder's going to serve the younger. Adam's going to serve Christ. Christ is the firstborn. He's the firstborn. And why did he do that? Look, I should show you. Look at Romans 8. This is the purpose of God according to the election. This is why it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. You find in Scripture a lot of times where God took the birthright from the firstborn and gave it to the second one. There's about four or five cases of that, maybe six cases of that in the Scripture. Why? Because he took it, it's showing that it's of God that calls, it's not of us that wills or runs or of blood. It's of God that shows mercy. It's God's electing. and he chose his son. Why? Look at this, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, those he chose in Christ, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that his son might be the firstborn among many brethren. His son's going to be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the firstborn. Christ was chosen of God the Father. Christ was born, just like we were born. He was born, but not of Adam's seed. He was born holy, of the Holy Spirit. And he was called of God. He was called of God, just like we're regenerated and called. The Spirit was poured out upon him. He was called. And so he's the head of the body, the Scripture says, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's who Christ is. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Now look back at Hebrews 1. I want you to see this firstborn language. Listen to this now. Now don't forget, what I'm showing you here is how a firstborn child is a saint. He's a saint. Saints and firstborn are just almost synonymous terms in the Scripture. Now look, here's Christ the firstborn. Remember how we read what I said to you, what Joseph said of Reuben? He said he's the excellency of me and the excellency of my power, and he's my firstborn, he's my beginning, my strength, and all that. Listen to what God says about Christ here. Hebrews 1:2. God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. Whom he hath appointed. You know what the firstborn son got? He's the heir of all things. He's the heir of all things. By whom also he made the worlds. Who being, look, the brightness of his glory. That means the excellency of his glory. He says, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. That's what Joseph said to Reuben. You're the excellency of my power. And which, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The firstborn is faithful to the Father. The firstborn is the one that does the Father's will. That's who the firstborn is. He says here, being made so much better than the angels. The firstborn was better than all his brethren. He's better than all his brethren. Christ is better than everybody. He's better than the angels. The angels are mentioned here because men were worshiping angels. And he said, Christ is better than the angels. He's better than all his brethren. And he says here, and as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, just like every firstborn child. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. When you read begotten, it means Christ is the firstborn. He's the firstborn. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. That means Christ is the firstborn. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. That's what he said of Jacob. He said Esau's going to worship him. It means he's going to serve him. He's going to bow to him. And that was the case of the firstborn. Now, how's all that apply to me and you, brethren? Well, because Christ was faithful to his Father, because Christ fulfilled the law, because Christ came forth and redeemed us from the curse of the law and is our righteousness, Christ is our head, and all of God's saints are firstborn children in Christ. Now look at Hebrews 12:23. In the middle part of the verse there, he says this. He says, you are the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven. You are the church of the firstborn. We're of Christ the firstborn, and every single child in God's church, in Christ's church, is equally a firstborn child. This whole church is a church of firstborn children. God's true church. That's right. A church of firstborn children. We're sanctified firstborn sons. Firstborn children chosen of God in Christ. The firstborn shall be mine, God said. Firstborn children redeemed unto God by Christ. Redeemed by his blood. The firstborn shall be redeemed, God said. They had to be redeemed. Firstborn children born of Christ, born of him. The firstborn born had to be born. We're born of him. And now this is important. You remember the Scripture says Christ fulfilled the law. Romans 7 said Christ fulfilled the law. So that now, for when he reveals this to you, makes you to see the law is dead to you. It's fulfilled. God, Christ gave it everything that it demanded. The law is dead to you. Why? that you might be lawfully married to another. You were married to the law. Now you can lawfully be married to another. Lawfully married to another. That we might bring forth fruit, it said. And you know what's included in that fruit? Children unto God. Real children unto God. Believers. That we might bring forth children unto God. How on earth are... How are we going to bring forth children unto God? By the lawful union between Christ and our husband, His faithful bride, the church, which is what we are. His bride is faithful to Christ. You know how? By preaching His word. Preaching His word. He told the bride, you keep the house. You keep the house. And what that pictured, the woman keeping the house, what it pictured is His church. And how do we keep the house? We preach His word. We preach His word. We preach that which glorifies and honors Him. And you know how children are born of a husband and wife? It's through seed. And you know what the word is? The word is the incorruptible seed. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, it's the word whereby the gospel is preached unto you. And so, Christ our husband, through His faithful bride, births His children to life through the incorruptible word of God that He blesses in the heart. That's how He says to you and me, you're going to bring forth children. You're lawfully married to Christ, that you might bring forth children unto God. You know what that's exactly the opposite of? Fornication. That's the exact opposite of fornication. We're lawfully married to Christ. There's nothing adulterous about this. There's no fornication about this. We're married to Christ. And we're producing children by Christ our husband that are firstborn children. They're firstborn children. They're not children of fornication. You who are born of God, you're not children of fornication. You're children of Christ the faithful, of the everlasting Father, of Him who is the firstborn. And because we're sons of the firstborn, listen to this right here, brethren. Listen to this. He said in 2 Peter 1:4, listen to this, whereby are given unto you exceeding great and precious promises, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. You know what we escaped? The corruption that is in the world through lust. We were children of fornication. That's all we were. We were children of uncleanness. We were children of corruption. How do we escape it? We've been born of God and made partakers of the divine nature so that we've escaped that being children of fornication. Now we're firstborn sons of God in Christ the firstborn. Now, we're consecrated to God. We're separated. We're consecrated. We're firstborn consecrated children. Now, being born of Christ the firstborn, because He's our representative head, every saint is equally the firstborn child of God in Christ the firstborn. What does that mean? That means we receive all the privilege and the honor of firstborn children equally with Christ the firstborn. Oh, this is getting good. This is getting good. You thought it was good that we've been saved from the corruption of being children of fornication? It also means we get all the advantages and the honor and the privileges of the firstborn son. Every one of us do in Christ the firstborn. What are those privileges? We're each equally loved by God our Father in Christ the firstborn, even as Christ is loved. Art read it. Even as Christ is loved. Each believer, each saint, firstborn saint of God is equally united to God in Christ the firstborn. We're equally united to God, inseparably connected to God. Each equally are honored by God with Christ the firstborn. Now here's these honors. If the father of the firstborn was a priest, you know what the firstborn son was? He became a priest. Who is Christ? He's the firstborn son. And who is he? He's the high priest. And you know what all His people are in Him? We're priests unto God. He's made us priests unto God because He's the firstborn. This is a lawful union between Him and His bride. It's not fornication. It's not adultery. The firstborn inherited the kingly judicial authority of his father. If his father was a king, guess who became the king? firstborn son. Christ is the king. And you know what all the firstborn sons are in him? Scripture says we're kings and priests unto God. We're a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood. There was no such thing. You never saw that in the Old Testament. This is something only Christ did. We're kings and priests unto God. And that authority, he said, and we're going to reign on the earth. And you know what he said we're going to do in the end of the world? We're going to judge the world together with Christ, the firstborn. That's right. Judge the world. And then the firstborn inherited a double portion of his father's inheritance. He got the inheritance from the father. You know what we're going to get in Christ, the firstborn? Romans 8 says that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together with him. If we continue to the end, preserved by God, it's going to be evident we're children of God. And we're going to be heirs of God. We're going to equally, every one of us, inherit what Christ the firstborn inherits. Every one of us. And this is not by fornication. This is not by adultery. This is not by uncleanness. This is by a faithful, lawful union of Christ and his bride. Now here's the point. We're sanctified firstborn sons by the lawful union of Christ and his bride, born of incorruptible seed, the word preached unto you, but not born of fornication. That's what every saint is. Now let's go back to the text. So lastly, let's look at this exhortation now. That's what you are, child of God. Now let's look at the exhortation. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. That's just plain as can be. I think everybody here understands that. That's what it means. Don't let it be named among you. In the act or in the thought, spiritually or physically, don't let it be named among you. Now that's what he was saying in Hebrews. If you still got your place marked, let me give you this. Hebrews 12:14. He said, follow peace with all men. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You know who that is? It's Christ. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, he said, look to Christ. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. We're going to get grace from Christ. Look to Christ. Lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, thereby many be defiled. You know what happened to David with Bathsheba? He stopped looking to Christ. And he looked out across his porch and he saw this beautiful woman out there bathing herself on the porch. He says, you look diligently to Christ for grace unless you fail of that grace and the root of bitterness spring up in you. And you be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And he goes on and he says, you know what your motivation is to do this? In verse 23 he says, you're the church of the firstborn. That's exactly what Paul is saying here in our text in Ephesians 5:3. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. You're saints. You're firstborn children. You're firstborn sons. Now, seeing the great blessing God's bestowed upon us, brethren, so freely because of Christ and what he's done, remember, this didn't come to us by fornication. This didn't come to us by uncleanness or covetousness. It came by divine election. It came by blood redemption. It came by the new birth of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he said, don't let these things even once be named among you as becometh saints, not in the act and not even in the covetous thought. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:16. Let's just talk about the physical for a minute. 1 Corinthians 6:16. This is true spiritually as well, but just look at this. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. You become one. Now watch this. But he that is joined unto the Lord, he's one spirit. That means we're one with the Lord. We're one with the Lord. Flee fornication, he said. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Do you know what he just said there? We're one spirit with the Lord. We're one flesh with the Lord, of his bones, of his flesh, and of his blood. A believer, this is so. And so when we, if we're guilty of fornication, of joining ourselves with the harlot, we not only sin against our own physical body, we're sinning against Christ's body. Do you hear that? Against Christ's body. Does that sound strange to you? Look at the next verse. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I've been trying to talk to you about that price, brethren. That price. Christ had to come to where we are. He had to lay down his life. He had to bleed. He had to suffer. He had to die. God said, you bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. And when he speaks in our text of covetousness, this is the thoughts of the heart. Now listen carefully there. He means don't let these things be named among you, even enticing others in their hearts or by being enticed in your own heart. Don't entice others in their heart and don't be enticed in your own heart. This is what he's saying. Now you listen to me. The woman who dresses like a harlot, and it causes a man to look upon her and covet her, that woman is as guilty as that man is. They're both guilty. Honey, how does this make my butt look? Why? Why? It ought to make it look invisible. That's what he's saying. That's one reason I've been speaking to you about the importance of how we dress, brethren, especially in the Lord's house. That's wherever we're congregated together. When visitors come, you listen to me, when visitors come, they won't give the gospel an ear if they see our wives and our daughters dressed in an unbecoming way. They won't. And I know they won't because I've had folks come here and leave and tell me the reason they didn't come was that. I don't want to be guilty of that. Do you? The principle, listen to me, you've heard me preach this and you've agreed with it. The principle for which Paul told the women not to dress in an immodest attire was the same principle for which he circumcised Timothy before he took him to the synagogue of the Jews to preach the gospel. You know why he did it? Because the Jews, knowing Timothy was uncircumcised, they would have never paid any attention to the gospel in the first place. It was the same principle for which those Gentiles that Christ saved and called out of darkness, when they had that meeting and those men were saying, except they be circumcised, they can't keep the law. And they said, no way, we're not bringing them under the law. You can forget that we're not bringing them under the law. They've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. No way will we bring them under the law. And they turned around and said, but don't you do anything that you've been doing in your idolatrous religion. Because here's why. You got will workers who are hearing Moses preached every day, every Sabbath day in the synagogue, and they're just looking for fault with you. They're just looking for a reason not to hear your gospel. And he says they won't hear Christ preached if otherwise. Now, brethren, do you understand? What did Paul just tell us in Ephesians 4? The reason for all this is for Christ's sake. He's speaking to the church, and these things he's exhorting the Ephesian church is do these things so that you can be fruitful in sending forth the gospel and that people be hearing Christ exalted and Christ to be calling out his people. You see that? So he said, for Christ's sake, do this. Well, I'm not going to force my child out, you know. I believe it's God's sovereign. Yeah, I believe God's sovereign too. All right then. When they commit fornication, you're going to just say, well, I don't want to force them to stop. No. I'm going to say, don't do it. Don't do it. That's what he's saying here. Don't do it. Why? For Christ's sake. And here's the truth. If that's not enough, our profession's vain. If that don't make us go, Lord, I want to obey you, our profession is just vain. It's vanity. Look down at Ephesians 5. I'll show you that. For this you know, verse 5, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's saying, the man who says, I'm going to go on and do this anyway, he don't have an inheritance with God. He don't even know Christ. Look, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He said, don't let a man tell you different. Well, we're not under the law, children. You don't have to worry about what he's saying. He's being legal about that. You better listen to God. Let no man deceive you of these things. This is why the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Can it get any more clear? Isn't that clear? Now, look at 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm done. Now listen, if we were merely told here, just abstain from fornication, that would be law. That's what God gave on Mount Sinai in the Ten Commandments. He just said, thou shalt not commit fornication. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's just, thou shalt not covet. But you see, with this, Paul said, as becometh saints, and us seeing what Christ has done, and us seeing how that we're sanctified firstborn sons, not children of fornication. And then he says, so act becoming a firstborn son. Act in becoming way as a saint. This is a gospel command. Man might say, I don't like the word command. Get used to it. Look here. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, this is Paul, brethren, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what I'm telling you, Christ told me to tell you, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. You see that? So you would abound more and more. He said, I pray you'll grow more and more. This is just like when we first came. Man, I had to endure every kind of rejection and every kind of pushback on everything. And I don't have as much of it now, because you hear and you're delighting in Christ is growing you more and more and more. And in another 15, 20 years, Lord bless this work and keep us together. This, what I'm preaching to you, will be as plain and as clear as it can be. Right now, it might be, you might think, I don't understand. This sounds much like law to me. It'll get more clear. It'll get more clear. Listen to this. And you might have to go through some painful sorrow to understand it. You might have to produce a child of fornication, really. For God uses that together with his word to show you. This is what I've been trying to teach you. All right, now watch this. Look here. Verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? We gave you these commandments by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not law. This is gospel. The word commandment don't make it law. It's who it came from. And why it's given. And what the motive for it is. That's what makes it of grace and of gospel. He said, this is a commandment by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That means as firstborn sanctified children. As becometh saints. Not in the lust of concupiscence, as covetousness, even as the Gentiles which know not God. You see, God's people are going to be different than the world. Not for the reasons false religion are promoting, but by his grace. We're going to be different than this world. That's what he says here. Now look, verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We're already holy. We've escaped the corruptions, being firstborn sanctified sons. He said, now, in that state of holiness, walk as a holy, sanctified child. He therefore that despiseth, now catch this, he that despiseth, Paul, I don't agree with you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't agree with you. Okay, then. This is what Paul said. He that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us the Holy Spirit. You see that? I tell you what, that makes me feel guilty. That makes me feel low. That makes me feel humbled. That makes me feel glad. That makes me rejoice. That makes me happy. That makes me want to obey Christ. I'm a firstborn sanctified son in Christ. I want to walk like one. Don't you? Don't you? I pray God will bless it. Make us obedient. Amen. All right, brethren. Let's... Brother Eric, if you'll come lead us in a closing hymn.